Good morning. It's Tuesday. It's November the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And it's Taco Tuesday. And it's the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And last but not least, well, actually, maybe it is least. I don't know, but I'm saying it last. It's Election Day, and we're praying today. We're praying for a day of peace in our land. We're praying for a day of wisdom among our populace. And we're praying for a day that we will all remember that no matter who is president, we have a king. We have a king, friends. His name is Jesus. He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is seated at the right hand of God, where he is holding court. He is holding session, putting his enemies underneath his feet and our feet. So that means we have work to do, which is to turn to the Word of God, which is to anchor our lives in the Word of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we might rise up as the people of God so that we could then humble ourselves as the servants of God and of neighbor in this world. Wow, man. That's all before the prayer of consecration today. I'm on a roll. Somebody stop me. Let's do pray consecration. You ready? In light of all that I've just said, open your heart to hear this word. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the sower nation said, Amen. Today's entry is entitled, You Shall Not, the Heart of the Matter. Our text is Exodus chapter 20, verses 13 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Why aren't these five laws enough? I remember early in my law school days, one of my professors made a sage comment. He said, "We can assess the morality of a nation by the number of laws it has recorded in its books." Why can't those be enough? They are sufficiently broad. What is it about people that we assume if the law is not written down, the activity must not be illegal? What is it about people that we always look for the loophole to get around the law? Every loophole just requires another law to close it. Jesus takes another approach to the law on at least two levels. First, he articulates the great positive law of the comprehensive love of God, neighbor, and self. Where there is love, there is no need for law. In fact, the breaking of the law is the failure of love. Love is not about us, but others. Second, Jesus moves us to understand the law at the level of the heart rather than at the level of behavior. Hear him now, Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. It's Matthew 5, 21, 22. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's Matthew 5, 27 and 28. The law is not about behavior, but about the heart. Far before the law is broken, the heart is broken. It raises the final point about the law. Some years ago, I had the privilege of meeting and getting to know the preacher to the papal household under John Paul II and beyond, Father Rennero Cantalamessa. He surprisingly accepted our invitation to come to Wilmore, Kentucky, to minister among us when I served as dean of the chapel at Asbury Seminary. He said many things on many subjects. He's one of my favorite teachers in the kingdom of God, especially on the Holy Spirit. In a lecture on Pentecost, he spoke this striking word: the law was given so that the Spirit might be desired. The Spirit was given so the law might be obeyed. Isn't that exactly what Ezekiel is saying here with this extraordinary word of prophecy? I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20. It brings us to the heart of the matter, which is that the law is a matter of heart and spirit. To break the law is to divide or break one's heart. We all know the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. We must have the Spirit of God in order to obey the spirit of the law. And we must obey the spirit of the law in order to live wholeheartedly. I must have a new heart and a right spirit, all of which comes from the Holy Spirit. It brings us to the prescience of David's brokenhearted prayer, uttered in the contrite aftermath of breaking practically all 10 of the 10 commandments. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's Psalm 51, verse 10. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I receive your deliverance from a hard heart of stone. I receive your deliverance into a soft heart of flesh, a heart that leaps to listen to your voice and to trust you and obey you. Father, thank you that by your Spirit you give us an undivided heart. You remove from us our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. We have your Spirit, Lord, yet we must have more of your Spirit, or rather, your Spirit must have more of us. Work on me and in me and through me at the level of my heart. As the psalmist prays, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. 119:32. It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for my good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 How about our journal prompts today? Hope you're writing in your journals. I'm not doing this just for the fun of it, friends. Have you entered into the heart-level discipleship of the Spirit? Are you ready to get beneath the behavioral level of life and into the matters of brokenness and healing? Are you seeing the brokenness of the letter of the law legalism and the wholeness of trusting obedience? Are you grasping the connections between law and heart and spirit? These are deep, deep, kind of like the deep codes of revelation, these matters of law and heart and spirit. You know, it's just so easy, and all of us probably have. I'm right there with you. You just can read the Bible a long time at the, I don't want to say surface level, because the meaning is right there on the surface most of the time. I think what word I would choose there is superficial. Just kind of going through the motions of reading it, not hearing it, not really seeking the understanding that comes from the Spirit of God, the Spirit who inspired, who revealed the words to begin with. Boy, once you begin to really just say, come Holy Spirit, open the Word of God to me, which is what we're doing here on the Wake Up Call. We're not unearthing hidden meanings. We're not bringing forth secret meanings. There's nothing new here. These are the old meanings. These are the ancient truths. It's just kind of like taking it for what it says and stopping long enough to sit down and ponder it, maybe to get on our face and pray it. Well, we're going to be singing today. You're going to love this one. You know it. It's called Trust and Obey. Number 334. It's a simple song. It's a great old hymn, 19th century hymn, and Trust and Obey 334, if you want to look it up. We'll sing it in just a minute. But, you know, far more important than a presidential election, than any election. I mean, what's going to change our country isn't who's in office next. It's what kind of people are we going to become? Are we going to wake up? Are we going to wake up to the fact that we have slidden, we are slouching toward Gomorrah, friends, that the heart and soul, I can't speak for other countries, but I can speak for the one I live in. We've traded our birthright for a pot of stew or a $10 coffee or whatever it is you want to substitute in there. And the old Merle Haggard had it right. We're rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell, he's saying. And I just want to be clear, this is not about Christian nationalism, however you might define that. I have no category for it. I have no use for it. This is not about trying to come up with a Christian government. I mean, that would be, no, I don't think we need a Christian government. We actually need Christians, real Christians in government. That's a different thing. You know, there's autocracy, there's theocracy, and there's democracy. That's your three choices. And we've made the right choice in America for a democracy, but a democracy is contingent on a character, a people who have the character to lead, to self-govern. That's what's been lost. Our social contract on which the country was founded has collapsed. And we're not going to breathe new life into it. The only way this changes is awakening, and in fact, great awakening. And let me say what I mean by that. I don't mean like that all of a sudden some miracle falls out of the sky and there's a big meeting somewhere and a lot of people, you know, come to the altar. Those are good things too, but that's not a great awakening, friends. A great awakening is a long, slow, steady burn. It starts as a spark. It starts as a seed, and then it begins to multiply. And it takes decades of sowing for it. I think you get the awakening you sow for. And, you know, prayer certainly is imperative for a great awakening, but it's more than prayer. It's a comprehensive sowing into hearts and homes and churches and cities. It's a unloosing the Word of God from its bindings and books and beginning to get that unleashed, not in church, in our lives, in the world. I've got to stop, okay? You know where I'm coming from. This is my drum. This is the bass drum. This is the whole drum kit for me. And I think I can, you know, I guess one thing I'm not a revivalist. I love revival, but revivals come and go. We've seen them. We'll see more of them. Amen. Yes, Lord, please. No, this is something in another category that I'm talking about. And we got to give our lives to sow for it, right? We'll see some first fruits, but we're sowing into our children's children's children at this point. Let's have that kind of faith. Let's go out sowing. Are you ready? 334. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Let's sing this one more little chorus today that comes out of our reading. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We just sang a psalm right there, friends. That's our prayer. That's, you know what? If you voted, great. If you didn't vote, that's okay with me too. What's important is if we're praying that prayer, that's the secret to the recovery of this country. That prayer, right? That prayer. I'm going to leave it there today. I hope I hadn't offended you. If I have, I'm sorry. Get your seeds. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend. Leave us a rating and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.